to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
With your
reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Well, I am in the world. I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means send. So he went and washed and came back, able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." But he said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what's so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus replied, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord. and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see. So your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All of Lent is this exodus from darkness into light. And all the readings talk about that exodus. It's an extraordinary scene. Jesus had already worked several healings of blind men. But there were a couple common characteristics. First, they'd be shouting out for a miracle. And then second, Jesus would do the miracle directly. In this case, this man born blind, not a man who had lost his sight, who would recover it, but a man who had never seen at all, wasn't crying out. He was just the subject of a theological dispute among the disciples. He seemed to have been born punished, born without a good. And they asked whether he had sinned even before he was born in order to be born blind, or whether it was his parents. And Jesus said, neither. You could see later on that the chief priests and the scribes thought it had to have been his parents, their sin, since he had been born blind. But Jesus said, neither. Then he went on up, and in a proto-sacrament, you could call it, Jesus could have snapped his fingers and cured him, could have just willed it, and he could have cured him. But he wanted to show how important a sacramental touch is. And so he made muddy saliva. He did this once before when he had cured a man in successive stages in the pagan territory on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. But he made this muddy saliva, came up unbidden to the man in white his lids with this sacred saliva. It would have been easy for this blind man to think he was being mocked at that very moment. But then Jesus said words to him, which are extraordinary words to say to a blind man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. It would have been easy for this blind man to have said, Now, first you wipe me with muddy saliva, and then you tell me to walk in a place where I can't even see where the pool begins, and I can easily fall in, and might not even be able to find my way to the edge. But Jesus, in the second change from the other miracles of curing blind men, wanted this man to participate in his own healing. He wanted him to go. He wanted him to trust, not just in the words, but in God's protection at that pool. And as soon as he had washed, he came back able to see. It's an extraordinary miracle that the Lord had worked, and we'll see the successive stages in a second. But 3.5 weeks ago, somebody acting in the Lord's name came up and smudged our head, not with muddy saliva, but moistened ashes. Instead of saying, go wash in the pool of Siloam, gave us a different command directly from the Lord, repent and believe in the gospel. And we were sent on a journey. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey that's likewise supposed to be miraculous. A journey from darkness into light. In order to understand that journey, we need to see these two stages that the Lord has given us for us to be healed. First is the repent, to turn totally away from everything that keeps us from God. Repentance doesn't mean a tiny little course correction in our life, but a revolution. The future Pope Benedict said in 2000, it means to live a new life. It means to look at everything with Christ's categories. It means to see everything in the Lord's light. We need to turn away from our various forms of slavery. 6 years ago on a Sunday, Pope Francis preached a homily in which he said, we're not merely talking about the eyes in our forehead, but also the eyes of our heart. So often we do not see in our neighbor somebody who appeals to us in Christ. We do not see even in our friends people who are summoning us to love and to forgive and to be truly Christian before. We need a healing. And that's the first stage, to recognize how much we need this true repentance. But then the second stage is real faith. When Pope Benedict and Pope Francis wrote the encyclical with four hands called The Light of Faith, they said faith means seeing everything in light. In today's second reading, St. Paul said to the Ephesians, live as children of the light. Learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Awake, O sleeper. Christ will give you light. To see things in faith is to see things in light, even if we're experiencing what God, through Psalm 23, tells us, that we're journeying through a dark valley. We know that the Good Shepherd is with his rod and his staff, strengthening us and leading us toward that verdant pasture. That's what we're able to see. The first reading, even prophets, we can see, didn't see with the eyes of God. When Samuel went at God's command to anoint Saul's successor from among the sons of Jesse, all of those sons are presented. God says, I'm not choosing him, and I'm not choosing him, and I'm not choosing him. They looked like great candidates. But instead you've got this ruddy kid, David, who comes up after having shepherded the sheep, and the Lord said, that is the one, anoint him. Samuel needed to calibrate his vision to see things in the light of God. And God continually chooses less likely people to confound all those who think they see. The second stage is to believe in the gospel. The very end of the scene, after the miracle, after the disputations with the Pharisees, when the man who had had his sight restored was kicked out of the temple, Jesus went to find him. And he asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? This man had no idea what that meant, but he knew he could trust in Jesus. And he said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And then Jesus, with this great man's simplicity, just like last week with the Samaritan woman, in which he outed himself as the Messiah, here he outs himself as the Son of God. The one speaking to you now is he. But he also says it with those tender words, probably with a great smile on his face. You see him now. To live with the light of faith is to bring about a revolution. Think about what it would have been like for this blind man in the gospel. He had never seen anything. He had never seen light. He had never seen colors. He had never seen where he was going. He had never seen the faces of his parents. He had never seen anything at all. He had never seen colors, but that's overrated. And then Jesus says to him, he was speaking to you now as he. Everything would have been changed. That's what's supposed to happen when we begin to look at everything likewise through the eyes of faith. When we recognize that believing in the gospel means believing in the gospel incarnate, that it is Jesus and he is speaking to us now, speaking to us in every circumstance, speaking to us through the word of God, speaking to us intimately in prayer, speaking to us through others whom he sends to us, speaking to us in circumstances. To see with the light of faith is to hear Jesus constantly saying, the one who is speaking to you now is he. This is a big challenge for us, especially at this time of the coronavirus and all the restrictions that are coming and have come. But we need to recognize Jesus hasn't abandoned us. We need to see even these situations in such a way in which we recognize that he's with us at our side. We need to hear him saying, "Don't be afraid, it is I," as he journeys with us through this dark valley. And the greatest means by which he gives us to be able to focus on him is at Mass, when he literally becomes incarnate among us. He speaks to us in the gospel, and then he says to us in the consecration, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, given out of love for you." Today, as we prepare to meet him with the joy that is fitting for Laetare Sunday, we ask him always to help us to tune into his voice and to see everything in him who is the light of the world. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.